This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff here. Questions and answers. Q&A with Koloff, the devil's nightmare. Brian Batt. I hope I said Brian. Did I say that right, Brian Batt?
Yes, you did.
Well, good. I just want to be. I always struggle over people's names and stuff, but great to have you on Q&A with Koloff today. Thanks for making yourself available.
No problem. Anytime.
And now you are, Brian, just so our listeners know, you're up in Illinois. Is that right?
Yeah, about a half hour north of Chicago.
About a half hour north of Chicago. So what town are you in?
Northbrook.
Northbrook, Illinois. And yeah. So is that north? So is that kind of like on the way to the Wisconsin line, up towards Green Bay, or Milwaukee,
Yeah, it's like halfway between Chicago and Milwaukee.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. Lived there your whole life?
Actually, I grew up in the town just south of it in Glenview.
Okay,
and I'm Illinois my whole life.
Illinois, born and raised, born and bred.
Yep. Yeah, and then I met my wife. She was born and raised in Northbrook, and that's where we reside now.
Oh no! You meet in school, meet in college, meet at work. Where'd you guys meet?
We actually had a mutual friend right after high school, and then went our separate ways and met up again 10 years later, and then been together ever since.
And how long has that been?
We've been married, actually, we just had our 23rd anniversary.
Wow, congratulations. What's your bride's name?
Kelly.
All right. What a great story. And children?
I have a daughter from a previous marriage.
Okay.
She's 32 now.
Okay.
Made me a grandpa for the first time 11 months ago.
Congratulations on that.
One.
I know what that's about. I got nine. Yeah. So.
I thought you had 10.
Nope. Nine grandchildren. Hey, maybe there's a 10th one on the way. I don't know about it yet, Brian.
There you go.
But, yeah. Well, that's one. Oh, so a daughter from the previous marriage, any other children then or no?
No, just her. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And one daughter, one grandchild.
Yeah, one daughter, one granddaughter. So the estrogen pool's getting a little fuller.
Well, I know all about that. I swam in the estrogen ocean for years, raising four girls of my own. And then our first grandchild was a girl as well. And then finally some boys came along in the picture. So, and Brian, what keeps you busy there in Illinois?
I'm a food retail manager running a grocery store.
Okay. Fantastic.
I've been doing that I've been in that business since I was about 18.
Wow. Okay. So you got some experience with that.
Yes, quite a bit. And my wife and I own our own business. We own a dog grooming shop.
Oh, very nice. Entrepreneurs as well. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, wife's a dog groomer.
That's awesome. And what town is that in?
That's in Glenview, downtown Glenview, where I grew up.
Downtown?
Right across the street from the school I went to.
Okay. And what's the name of the shop again?
Fur Babies.
Fur Babies.
Her baby's dog grooming.
Okay. I love it. That's awesome. Brian, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Oh, wow. Since the early 70s. My dad used to watch it because back then it used to only be on at night, like 10:30 after the news.
Okay.
And he used to just kind of, that was kind of like his, thing to just do, on the side to occupy a little time. And then me and my brothers kind of started watching it with him. First match I went to was at Comiskey Park to kind of show an age here. It was Vern Gagne against Nick Bockwinkel.
Well, two legendary names. I'm guessing that was for the AWA World Heavyweight title.
Yeah. And then after we went to that, we started going to the amphitheater regularly to see the monthly matches. And then I think the first time I saw you was Comiskey Park when you were rat-a-tat-tatting with Dick the Bruiser.
You listened to the story. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's why I think my one match at that stadium and my one match against Dick the Bruiser, yeah, it was, for those who don't know, it was Dick the Bruiser, Baron Von Roschke, and the legendary Crusher from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And against Ivan and I and Crusher Khrushchev, Barry Darso, a good friend of mine. And, oh, my gosh, yeah, that was a memorable match for me, yes. Yeah.
Well, that was, I think, too, the first time any of the big NWA names came to Chicago.
Yeah.
Because back then, the only way we could see you guys was on TV.
Yeah, or magazines, right?
Right.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Like the Road Warriors. What's that?
Yeah, I was saying, like, the Pro Wrestling Illustrated and...
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying about the Road Warriors?
Like, you know, I was used to seeing them on TV, and then down the road, Vern had a card where all the matches were tag matches. So he invited some teams from other territories, and that was the first time the Warriors were in Chicago. And,
gotcha.
They lit it off that first night.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, what a...
Yeah.
What a great story. And, hey, and I remember, too, you mentioned the... Let me just... I forgot about this, too. You have a sister that lives near Robbinsdale, Minnesota?
She lives in North Branch. She told me it's about a half hour from Robbinsdale.
Okay. Well, now that's pretty cool.
They moved up there quite some time ago.
Gotcha. Okay. I kind of forgot that you had mentioned that, and I thought I'd want to pull that in the comment. Well, I appreciate you, man. I just appreciate you being such a loyal wrestling fan all these years. That's pretty amazing. I know you've got some questions for me. That you like to throw out there. Why don't you throw a couple questions out? Let's just talk about that.
Okay, I do remember the first one I wanted to ask you about was not a wrestling question. It was more about Man Camp.
Okay,
because I've checked it out. The video is kind of vague. It's like real quick and snippets. But I was more curious just like day to day stuff that goes on there.
Well, and here's what I say about the camp, and for all the listeners to understand. I mean, and the videos are fairly short. There's not a whole lot of information on there, and that's intentional. Right. And I say that for a couple of reasons. In fact, I know from some of your story, you had mentioned, you know, you say raised Catholic, went to Catholic school for 12 years, went to a Promise Keepers event, right? In like 97,
yeah,
97, 98,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And was
the
that
first
let me,
one
let me
I
ask
went to
you
was
quick
in Milwaukee.
Yeah, in Milwaukee. Was the Promise Keepers impacting for you?
The first one was the one in Milwaukee. That was a 2-day event. And then I went, I think it was the next year we did the one in Chicago. That one not as much, but that the first year in Milwaukee was very impactful.
And
real eye-opening.
Yeah. Yeah, what stands out? What was eye opening for you? Just curious.
There was two speakers that, and I wish I had looked up their names for this call. I can text them to you, but it was just the way they talked their message. It just, you know, hit home. It was, you know, really positive, uplifting. The second year I went, it seemed a little too preachy, but that first year in Milwaukee, the 2-day, it just real positive, uplifting.
The guy's message.
You felt good when you left.
Yeah, the guy's message has really touched your heart. It sounds like.
Yes.
Well, that's amazing. So, well, but back to the Man Camp. So the intention there. Here's the reason why we don't put a ton of information on the website. Typically, the guys who come are feeling really prompted. You know, the Lord's really nudging them in their heart. Hey, go do this. Go do this. And. Mm-hmm. And I say that to say this, every individual that comes, it's going to be a different experience for every guy. And I base this off of doing these camps now since 2006, probably facilitating somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 plus or minus camps, and then hearing many of the guys' stories, you know, post-camp. Hey, this is how it impacted me. It impacted me this way. Hey, it impacted my marriage. Hey, it impacted my relationship with my children. Hey, it impacted my own personal journey with Jesus, right? And so it's different for every single guy. And so to hand out an itinerary, we felt like, and by the way, for those who don't know, Lex Luger co-facilitates these camps with me. We do one in the spring, one in the fall. And by the way, if you want more information, want to learn more about the website he's referring to, just go to koloff.net and you can link right to the camp or learn more about the camp. But it's a different experience. So what we don't want to do is ruin that experience for somebody and say, oh, you're going to do this, 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 and this. And then you walk away going, oh, well, all the expectations I set, you know, none of them were met. And it's a total letdown, right? Almost like you saying the second Promise Keepers, you know, wasn't as good as the first one or whatever.
Right.
Because you probably went with a certain expectation to that second one, I'm guessing. And then because
based on the first one.
Yeah, and because of your experience with the first one, then it was different. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, it wasn't as good, right? So
right.
I say that to say we keep the information, you know, somewhat vague, not in any sense that we, you know, or I should say in the sense we want you to come with just an open heart and go, like, when I went to my first camp, March of 2006, and God, I had no absolutely I don't know what to expect on that. I really don't even know any of these guys, but my decision is I'm going to go run after you and run after your heart. And man, God met me in a powerful way. And that's typically the testimony of most of the guys that come to Man Camp. Now, obviously, I mean, we're going to eat. There's going to be food. There's going to be some fellowship. You know, there's going to be some fun outdoor activities. There's going to be some teaching, some ministry times. All of that's a part of it. We're just very strategic on how the Lord, you know, guides us in that. And then Lex and I share many of our years' experience on whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, on things that we have learned over the years. And typically, Brian, guys go back home and it is life-changing, not necessarily for 100% of the guys, but for a larger percent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So it's almost like you just kind of customize it to who the people are in the group.
Yeah, well, that and the Lord customizes it. That's a great word. The Lord customizes it because he knows exactly, like if you made a decision to come, the Lord knows exactly what it is you need and or what he wants to minister to you, and that's what he does, right? So consider that, you and everyone else listening out there, man. I hope you'll consider that. Like I said, our next one's in, we do one in the spring, one in the fall. I won't give out any dates. Don't know when this will air for sure, but maybe something that either you, Brian, or some other listener out there is prompted to come to Georgia and attend Man Camp. So nice. Great question. Thank you for asking that question. What else? What else you got? I know you got a few others.
One more non-wrestling question.
Okay.
I know when you did your altar call, you know, a lot of times when you or your guests that have done the altar calls, you guys, you know, always memorize that date that it happened. But when you did yours, did you know going there that you were going to do one, or did something come over you while you were at that ceremony?
Specifically,
did you know
which,
what I mean? Or,
huh?
Like when you went to the day that you did your altar call, did you know that day, or did some kind of come over you while you were there?
I got you.
Right there, I'm going up.
You're talking about 17 October 1993 when I went to the altar and surrendered my life to Jesus. Yeah, no, it wasn't planned. And by that, what I mean by that is, I had been on a search, on a quest, if you will, from the time I left wrestling about 11 months prior. And I like to tell people I was successful, but I was unfulfilled. I knew something was still missing in my life. I just didn't know what it was. I mean, here I was a world champion. I traveled, you know, all over the world, met all kinds of people from all lifestyles and backgrounds and experienced all kinds of cultures and climbed the ladder of success, the pinnacle of success in wrestling, having been a world champion a number of different times and with tag titles and et cetera. And yet I'm like, this is it? Something's missing. So So walking into the church that day, Brian, I sensed, looking back, I sensed something different. I didn't know, I still didn't know what it was until the altar call was given. And I didn't even know what that was, to be honest with you. But an invitation was given to surrender your life to Jesus. And it was like in that moment, it was like an aha moment for me. And I'm like,
okay,
that's what's missing is I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I knew the story. But the story never made the 18-inch trip from my head down to my heart. And I was the first one to the altar on my knees, just surrendering my life, right? Repenting, asking for forgiveness. And in that moment, Brian, I can tell you that sense of unfulfillment was gone. All of a sudden, there was an immediate sense of fulfillment and an immediate sense of there's more purpose to my life than I knew up to that point.
So, okay.
Yeah. Great question.
Good. Yeah. Okay, now wrestling. I think somewhere I had messaged you about the first time I saw you in North Carolina was it was Starrcade.
Okay.
And you guys had lost to the Rock and Roll Express the night before. So I was in the airport the next day and talking with the Rock and Roll and Terry Taylor, and you and Khrushchev were on the other side of the aisle.
Okay.
And I think you caught me looking because I wanted to go over and, you know, maybe get a picture or something. And my buddy keeps going, no, don't, leave it alone, leave it alone. And every time I'd look over there, that stare was getting more and more intense. Your stare, yeah.
Okay.
I think you kept thinking this guy's going to come over here. And Ricky Morton even said, no, don't, you know, just stay over here.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. It would be a good thing, right?
So have you ever had people actually approach you back in those days?
Well, yes, and it's funny because I actually went back to your note. You're like, purely out of curiosity, what typically would have happened had I approached you at the airport? Well, let's just say I wouldn't have body slammed you or given you a Russian sickle, okay? I probably would not have done that. Even though society wasn't as litigious back then as it is now. But that to say, you, if I had communicated at all with you, it probably would have been, it would not have been verbal communication. The intensity of the stare probably would have intensified. Let me just say it that way. Because back in those days, you know, there were times people wanted to approach me like that. Like they'd even go to Ivan and go, Ivan, go ask him. Ivan's like, I'm not asking that. Or Crusher.
Yeah.
Like we'd be in the gym. They're like, Crusher, go over and ask Nikita. He goes, go over and ask him yourself. They're like, no, we're scared to death of him. We don't want it. Right. So if I had verbalized anything, depending on how much English I had learned at that point. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done well, haven't I? Learning English, Brian.
Perfectly.
I know. Good English tutoring. Right. But all that to say, I probably wouldn't have said probably two words to you. I might have grunted or groaned at you and walked away, even if you had had a piece of paper and a pen out, which is why I think I became the number one most hated guy in wrestling at a certain point because of my responses that way. So good advice from Ricky Morton and your friend, like for real. Great question.
All right. I got to think of the other one I was going to ask you about. There was a match I saw you in Peoria. I don't know who you were wrestling. It was at Peoria Civic Center.
Cage match, and, you think, right?
It was, what's it?
Cage match?
It was a cage match. And because my buddy and I were sitting front row, and you got thrown into the ropes, but something came out of your hand. And when you were on the ring, you're looking right at me. Because I'm looking down at the ground, what's down there. You're looking, you know what I mean? It's like we both knew what was down there.
Right.
But I just say it back with a smirk, like I ain't saying a word. And but I think it was a blade.
Good possibility.
Yeah. But I don't know who you're wrestling. I don't know if you had turned yet. I don't know if you were, you know, in there with Magnum or if you were.
Right. Well, it could have been the Road Warriors. Could have been Magnum. Yeah. Yeah, depending on what storyline what angle I was in. I mean, could have even been Ric Flair. There's a number of guys potentially, especially if I was in a cage. The world's pretty educated at this point on professional wrestling. And I say that to say many people are. Not everybody, because some will still ask, like, even about bleeding and stuff. Like, would you guys use, like, chicken blood or something? You know, what did you use? Oh, yeah, we stored capsules in our mouth. Yeah, right. not realizing, understanding that. No, it was real blood. And they're like, and then they try to figure that out. And the way I would phrase it is this, self-inflicted wounds. Would be how we would bleed, self-inflicted wounds. And yeah, it was intentionally, it should have been very inconspicuous on when guys, you know, would blade themselves. And now sometimes it wasn't always a blade though. Sometimes there was what we would call hard way, because, you know, you're in a cage or you're in a chain match, Russian chain match, or run yourself into one of those metal poles or something. It was not uncommon for somebody to you know, for their forehead to, you know, hit something and get broke open, you know, a metal chair or whatever else. And so it could be one or the other, right? It could be what we call a hard way or a self-inflicted wound. But hopefully it was done very inconspicuous, where you as a fan couldn't figure it out, and all of a sudden you just go, "Oh my gosh, they're bleeding! When did that? How did that happen?" You know, kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Well, some of those guys, I mean, even once you know how they do it so quick and so. Like Flair is just a master at it.
Some of the guys were masters at it. Yeah, absolutely. And some, as I said, some could do it where it was more inconspicuous than others, for sure. So,
right.
Great questions. Well, we're about out of time, Brian. And but man, I've really enjoyed the questions today, and can't thank you enough. For, you know, making yourself available for this call and being on the Q&A show with Koloff and being such a longtime loyal fan. I really want to thank you for that as well.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, what's that word you say at the end of your thing?
the $64,000 question that everybody wants to know, Jatoeta. You know, you're going to ask me what it means, and I'm going to have to defer and say, I'm just going to keep you in suspense, Brian.
All right. I was going to type it to you, but I don't know how to spell it.
Well, nobody ever does. One guy wanted me to sign it on an autographed 8x10. I'm like, one, I can't do that because I wouldn't even know how to spell it. And two, you know, I'm just going to let you be in suspense. So, but
all right.
Hey,
good enough.
Thank you, Brian. And for all you listening out there, submit your questions, koloffforchrist@gmail.com, and perhaps you. We'll get a personal phone call from the Russian nightmare, Nikita Koloff. Brian, thanks for being on with me today.
You bet. Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is the Truth Network.